And now for our first scripture lesson for the morning, we have Judges chapter 16, verses 4 through 21. After he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah, the lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, "Coax him and find out what makes his strength so great, and how we may overpower him, so that we may bind him in order to subdue him, and we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me what makes your strength so great, and how you could be bound, so that one could subdue you." Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that are not dried out, then I shall become weak and be like anyone else." Then the lords of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not dried out, and she bound him with them. While men were lying in wait in an inner chamber, she said to him, "The Philistines are upon us, Samson." But he snapped the bowstrings as a strand of fiber snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you could be bound." He said to her, "If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and like anyone else." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon us, Samson." The men lying in wait were in an inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you could be bound." He said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and make it tight with a pin, then I shall become weak and be like anyone else." So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head and wove them into the web and made them tight with a pin. Then she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me 3 times now and have not told me what makes your strength great." Finally, after she had nagged him with her words day after day and pestered him, he was tired to death. So he told her his whole secret and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, then my strength would leave me. I would become weak and be like anyone else." When Delilah realized that he had told her his whole secret, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "This time come up, for he has told his whole secret to me." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She let him fall asleep on her lap, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. He began to weaken, and his strength left him. Then she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." When he awoke from his sleep, he thought, "I will go out, as at other times, and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. So the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground them at the mill in the prison. That is our Old Testament reading for the morning. Our gospel reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good one, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, thank you for having me here this morning. I've been looking forward to it. It's been some time since I've been here, and I didn't realize actually at the time that I chose this sermon topic that the Vacation Bible School was also doing a superheroes theme. So we're on the same page. So the story of Samson for me was a Sunday school staple when I was a kid. I'm assuming it is for everyone. It's the kind of story that has something for everyone. Action, romance, adventure. How could it not be popular? Samson is the biblical version of Hercules, literally able to tear a lion limb from limb with his bare hands. Can't really get more exciting than that. In today's scripture, and I must apologize, in a section of the scripture that was unread, he disappoints his would-be captors in Gaza. This is ahead of his meeting Delilah. He disappoints them by literally ripping off the city gates, frames, and posts with his bare hands. They had intended to trap him in the city. When he went into Gaza to visit with a prostitute. Little did they know he would not be trapped. And so, as a kid, Samson definitely seemed like a superhuman and a Superman, actually, and Delilah, as we see in the story, was his kryptonite. But as an adult reading the story of Samson, it's clear to me that it isn't just a cautionary tale about the wages of sin. It's also about his relationship with God and God's forgiveness. So we're going to unpack this together, and there's a lot to this story, this section that I read this morning is really just a snapshot of the relationship with Delilah. That's the section of the story that usually gets the most attention, but that is not the whole story. So from the beginning of Samson's life, he has always been marked by God. He's one of a handful of people whose births were foretold by the coming of an angel. He was raised to be a Nazarite, which is one chosen by God, and it meant that he was to avoid wine, even grapes and raisins. He was to stay away from dead animals, because they could make him unclean. And above all, there was never to have a razor or a blade touch his hair. Following these rules and God's law, he would be a leader among the Israelites and begin the deliverance of the people from the Philistines. Now, we don't know very much about Samson's childhood. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I think we can imagine how challenging it must have been to raise a child with superhuman strength who knows that he's been chosen by God. He's God's anointed. That has some challenges, I can see. My son is 11, and it's already challenging. Add superhuman strength to that, and we've got a real recipe for trouble. The first time that we meet him in chapter 14, he's a young man, and he's ready for marriage. And there, no nice local girl would do for him. He insisted on marrying a Philistine girl over his parents' concerns. This was a young man who gets his way. And in this story, we begin to see something of his nature. Samson is not only strong, but he's a tester of boundaries. If you spent any time with a group of kids, you know what I mean. You always set a line, and most of the kids will follow, but then there are just a couple of them who say, well, you know, what if I walk next to the line? Or what if I walk on the line? Or what if it's just my little toe? It's just my little toe over the line. In the 20 years that Samson led the people of Israel, he fought the Philistines and defended the people. But he also pushed and tested the boundaries. He broke the laws, and he broke the vows that he made to God. He drank wine regularly. He ate from the carcass of a lion that he had killed, going against the prohibition about touching dead animals. He was frequently in the company of prostitutes. And he used his strength for his own vengeful purposes. But throughout all of that, throughout everything, God remained with him. So I want to revisit that section that I told you was unread. It says, one day Samson went to a Philistine town of Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. Word soon spread that Samson was there, so the men of Gaza gathered and waited all night at the town gates. They kept quiet during the night, saying to themselves, when the light of the morning comes, we will kill him. So let's put this in some modern context. Samson decides he's going to just stroll into the enemy territory and look for his fun. Super strength or not, this is pretty arrogant behavior. Of course, the Philistines were going to try to capture him. He was already wanted by them, and he'd walked right into their front door. This is what is commonly referred to as tempting fate. He's literally daring them to try and take him. The next verse following that says, Samson stayed in bed only until midnight. Then he got up, took hold of the town gate, including the two posts, and lifted them up, bar and all. He put them on his shoulders, and he carried them all the way to the top of the hill across from Hebron. They thought that they had trapped him, but he knew that they could not trap him. The doors that Samson rips off, the gates rather, theologians estimate that each door may have weighed as much as 700 pounds. The city gate was their safety. Samson does this. He could have just pushed through the gates and kept walking. But he does this demonstration of his massive strength, because he wants to humiliate them. He wants to say, you think you can touch me? You can't. You think you're safe? You're not. I can come into your city and do what I want and leave with your security gates. After years of testing the boundaries with no consequences, Samson begins to think that he's invincible, but he's not. This is a critical turning point in the story of Samson, because in the earlier chapters, when he had gone into battle or when he faced the lion, the text always refers to the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him as he faces the lion. He's given God's blessing each time. But in this instance, in this text, there's no reference to the Spirit of the Lord. There's no prayer ahead of this. We begin to see that he's forgetting that his strength is from God and not of himself. By the time Samson falls in love with Delilah, he'd long since broken his vows and was continuing to do so openly. The text says, sometime later, Samson fell in love again. The woman lived in the valley of Sorek. Her name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her. They said, see if you can get him to tell you the secret of why he is so strong. They offered her more than a year's wages in silver. So I think Delilah sometimes gets a bad rap. Delilah had made no vows. She never professed her love. It was Samson who had made this commitment to God. Delilah was now on a mission. She had been offered the opportunity to become wealthy beyond her dreams or risk winding up like Samson's first wife. We didn't talk about her, but if you look back, she ended up being burned to death. So Delilah is thinking, I gotta get this information. So she keeps asking him for the secret of his strength. He makes up silly stories. If you bind me this way, I'll be weak. If you bind me that way, I'll be weak. But she keeps binding him, and he keeps breaking free. Now, by now, he must have known that he was being set up. But by this time, he was so convinced that he was invincible in himself. He didn't think he could be caught. Until this time, he had broken all the vows and promises with no real consequences, at least none for him. So why not allow this last vow to be broken? What he didn't realize is that all this time that he'd been testing his vows, he was also testing his relationship with God. And the further he pushed, the further he moved away from God. I don't think anyone was more surprised by his capture than Samson. His shorn hair was the symbol of that broken relationship with God. Now, if you think the story ends here, you might wonder about that stuff I said at the beginning about forgiveness and the chance for new salvation. But this is not the end of the story. In fact, in verse 22, which is not printed in your bulletin, it says, his head had been shaved, But the hair on it began to grow again. This verse isn't printed in your bulletin because I left it out by accident. And that was a problem for me as I was working on the sermon. I was really kind of wrestling with my message in the text. But then I reread the text and I realized how important this verse was. This short verse tells us that God was willing to allow Samson forgiveness. This short verse tells us about Samson's opportunity to begin again. His strength had left him, but it would return if he turned back to God. And at the end of Samson's life, he cried out to God for mercy and begged God to restore his strength, and it was granted. God forgave him and allowed him the strength to bring down the temple, which was an important and decisive victory for the Israelites. In that one act, he did more for the people of Israel than he had in the 20 years before that he had been a leader. Now we can look back in hindsight at this whole messy business and say, how could he do that? I mean, he was obviously being set up. But are we so different from Samson? Okay, so we don't have superhuman strength. It's true. But we're often pushing the boundaries. Don't we all know someone who likes to flirt with danger? Maybe sometimes we like to flirt with danger. But as Christians, we've also made promises about the type of life that we will at least try to live. And often we fall short. We lack patience, we're unkind, sometimes we drink too much, sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of a relationship or situation that's spun a little bit out of our control. Samson was not perfect, and neither are we. But like Samson, we have God's love and a role to play in building the kingdom of God. God didn't love Samson because of his failures, because of his imperfections. He loved him beyond his imperfections, as he loves us. And we have something that Samson didn't have. We have a Savior who died for us, who took the punishment for the sins of the world on him that we could be forgiven. Jesus has shown us a new way to operate in the world. Samson toiled in the prison and took beatings and humiliation. Jesus also took beatings and humiliation for us so that we do not have to. Jesus has brought us a new covenant, a new way to God that does not follow the path of vengeance that Samson followed, but instead focuses on love. Like Samson, we have been given the chance to begin again. Don't waste it. Let's move into the world recognizing that God has a plan for all of us despite our imperfections. And we need to do our part to show each other love, compassion, and forgiveness the way that he's shown it to us.